light of guidance, the 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 light of guidance.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على خاتم النبيين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله The Prophet of mankind, the peace of our hearts and mind, the most generous and kind, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very wonderfully, beautifully reported to have said, Zayyinu majalisakum bis salati alayya, decorate your mahafil, your gatherings, by reciting durood, salutations, salawat, salam upon me, fa inna salatakum alayya nurul lakum yawm al-qiyamati, for indeed the durood, the salutations, the salawat you recite upon me, will be nur for you on the day of judgment. Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib. Sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad. Sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. Salatu wa salaman. Alayka ya Sayyidi ya Habibi ya Rasulullah. Marhaba, khushamdeed. Welcome to one and all to another exciting, wonderful, beautiful episode in silsila of this wonderful series known as The Light of Guidance. For those that have been watching us, you do know in the beginning of our silsila and episode, we mentioned a very wonderful and beautiful question for all our viewers and our listeners. In the end of the episode, we will then share the answer for today's question. The question for today is, subhanallah, how many disbelievers were captured in the Battle of Badr? How many disbelievers were captured in the Battle of Badr? Subhanallah. We do know previously we have discussed the Battle of Badr, you know, 313 Muslims, 1000 Kuffar. But in there, how many were captured from the Kuffar side? This is the question for today. For those that know the answer, send your answers via our social media platforms. For those that don't know the answer, be with us inshallah at the end of today's silsila. We will then share the answer with everyone inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Today's topic is something very unique, very special, and I think today it will be such a topic which many of us will be hearing for the first time, and maybe the name of this prophet we also going to be hearing for the first time inshallah azza wa jal. Today we'll be learning about Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam, and with that we will be learning about 70,000 people who were resurrected after they were dead. This is a very beautiful incident and it has an attachment towards the Holy Quran. So inshallah, we'll be discussing this in today's episode. Many lessons, virtues we will derive and deduce from this wonderful incident. So it is something unique, something which many of us, I believe, are listening to for the first time. So inshallah, please be attentive. Let's make good intentions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has stated, Niyatul mu'mini khayrun min amali. The intention of a believer is better than his action. The more good intentions you make, the more reward you will attain from the exalted court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, inshallah azza wa jal. So we'll take a short break, listen to a beautiful kalam, and as soon as we return, we will then begin and carry on our discussion with regards to Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam. Sallu ala al-habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Ya Rasul Allah, Ya Habib Allah, Ya Rasul Allah, Wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya, unhe ikhtiyar diya gaya, Wo jo chahe chand ko tod de, Wo jo chahe chand ko چاند کو توڑ دے جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی تو وہ وقت مت پر بھی ادا ہوئی،
جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی، جو علی کی عصر قضا ہوئی، تو وہ وقت پر بھی ادا ہوئی، تو وہ وقت پر بھی ادا ہوئی، چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دیں، چھپے آفتاب کو موڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دیں، اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں،
رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ،
رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ، رخ نار ان کے غلام کو لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ، لیے جا رہے وہ ملائکہ، وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں، وہ پکڑ کے خلد کو موڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں،
وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وما رمیت کہے خدا،
وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ، وہ نبی کی مٹھی کا معجزہ کہ وما رمیت کہے خدا، کہ وما رمیت کہے خدا، وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں، وہ نگاہ کفر کی پھوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں،
لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی،
لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، لکھو نازش ان کا یہ معجزہ کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی، کہ کسی کی آنکھ نکل گئی،
وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں، وہ لعاب پاک سے جوڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا،
وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دیں، انہیں اختیار دیا گیا، وہ پھر اس کے شکروں کو جوڑ اختیار دیا گیا وہ جو چاہے چاند کو توڑ دے.
صلی علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. ماشاءاللہ ماشاءاللہ, ویری بیوٹیفل کلام with regards to the miracles of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the ikhtiyarat, you can say the authority of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is indeed a great topic which needs to be discussed with regards to the ikhtiyar, the authority, and how authoritative was Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, Huzur Qibla Tajul Sharia rahmatullahi ta'ala very beautifully says, جہاں بانی عطا کر دے بھری جنت ہبا کر دے, نبی مختار کل ہے جس کو جو چاہے عطا کر دے. دا اختیار اینڈ دا اتھارٹی آف نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, جہاں بانی عطا کر دے بھری جنت ہبا کر دے, نبی مختار کل ہے جس کو جو چاہے عطا کر دے اور جیسے جب چاہے عطا کر دے. دس از دا اختیار آف مائی نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, دیٹ وے ایور He wants, whatever He wants, whenever He wants, and to whomsoever He wants, He can grant. And nobody has the authority of questioning the Zaat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made Him sahib shariat. He has the shariat in His hands. He has the power. He has the entire kingdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah, the hukumat and the rule, over the entire creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted this to the beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So whatever the case is, there is no point and no way that you can reach the court of Allah without going by the court of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So every authority is by Him. Allah says, میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہم مالک حبیب, یعنی محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا, میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا. He says, یا رسول اللہ صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, I am going to call you the Malik, you are the owner. Because undoubtedly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given everything to His beloved Nabi sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam. How much Allah ta'ala has given him, what my Nabi has received from the court of Allah, this is between Muhib and Habib, this is between Allah and His beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not know, right? We do not know anything. Our only duty is to just accept and believe that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has the authority and has the power to do anything, whatever He wants, whether it's in terms of Sharia, whether it's miracles, whether it's different mu'jizat, whether it's something to do with this world, whatever the case is, my Nabi has been given this authority. And there are so many ahadith. In fact, Ala Hazrat Azimul Barakat Azimul Martabat Ash-Shah Imam Ahmad Raza Khan very beautifully mentions in his book Al-Amnu Wal-Ula Sharif, he mentions the entire book with regards to the ikhtiyar and the power and the authority of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And in the Ala Hazrat has given many ayat, many ahadith, and he has proven that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sahib shariat. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has ikhtiyar, he has the authority, and he is the one who has control. He can make something halal haram, he can make something which is haram halal for any specific person. Whatever he wants, he can do, and nobody can question the beautiful zaat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah. So once again, میں تو مالک ہی کہوں گا کہ ہو مالک حبیب یعنی محبوب و محب میں نہیں میرا تیرا. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And let's move towards our topic. And as I mentioned, this is an entire topic on its own. We can discuss episodes and episodes just on the ikhtiyar of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by Allah, there's so much to be discussed that, this one episode is very, very small. I told you, episodes we can discuss, and volumes is filled with the authority of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Inshallah, yaar zinda sohbat baqi, if we get a chance in future, we will try and discuss this, over 2-3 different episodes in a proper detailed discussion, inshallah, inshallah, inshallah. Today our topic, as it is mentioned, that today we will be discussing 70,000 people who were dead, then they were resurrected again. Subhanallah. And I told you, this is the people of Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam. And the incident is mentioned in the Holy Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it in the Surah Baqarah. Allah ta'ala has mentioned this wonderful incident. So before we move towards those people, who are those 70,000 people, what happened? First, let's have an understanding of who is Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam. Many of us must be hearing the name the first time. So keep in mind, he is a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam was the third successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. The third successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and he was also bestowed with nabuwat, with prophethood from the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. After the apparent demise of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam became the first successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. So after Musa alayhi salam left this world physically, because you know why we say physically, because nobody must have the assumption or the thought that, you know, a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has left this world now, he has gone ma'adallah, he has mixed in the sand, you know, he's no longer alive. No, my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made it clear. And he has mentioned, إِنَّ اللَّهَ حَرَّمَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ أَن تَأَكُلَ أَجْسَادَ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, indeed, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala has made it haram upon the earth to consume, to eat the bodies of the Anbiya alayhi salam. فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ يُرْزَقُ. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, the Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, he is alive. And not only that, he is even provided with sustenance from the court of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. So very clearly, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has mentioned, Allah Ta'ala has made it haram upon the earth. So they don't eat the bodies of the Anbiya. Yes, the Anbiya, فَنَبِيُّ اللَّهِ حَيٌّ. They are alive, they are alive, they are alive. And yes, as they were alive in this world, that's exactly how they are alive in their Mubarak, you know, Mazarat. And you know, in the Mubarak resting places, Allah Hazrat very beautifully says, Anbiya ko bhi ajal aani hai, magar itni ke fakat aani hai. That yes, Anbiya also have to leave this world, but the difference is that, you know, death will come to them. Magar itni hai ke fakat aani hai. It's just for that one moment, means their soul is taken away from their body, then it is put back in their body, and then they are alive and they are living as they used to live in this world. This is aqidah of Ahlus Sunnah wal Jama'ah. So when Musa al-Islam left this world physically, means he made parda from this world, then Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun became the first successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And he was also a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he left this world physically, then Sayyidina Kalib bin Yuhanna alayhi salam was the second successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. And he was also blessed with the rank of Nabuwat. And after him, then Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam became the third successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and he was also a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. So three successors of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam left this world physically. Sayyidina Yusha bin Nun alayhi salam became the first successor, and he was also a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When he left this world physically, then Sayyidina Kalib bin Yuhanna alayhi salam became the second successor, and he was also a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when he left this world physically, then on the third place, the successor was Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam, and he is the third successor of Sayyidina Musa alayhi salam, and also a Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah, subhanallah. And Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam, you know, he has some beautiful titles, and two of his beautiful titles, he is also known as Ibnul Ajuz. And Ibnul Ajuz means the son of an old woman. And the second title is also known as Dhul Kifl. Subhanallah, subhanallah. The reason why he is called Ibnul Ajuz, the son of an old woman, was that he was born at the time when his mother was very old. Alright, so that's the time when he was born. That's why one of his titles is also Ibnul Ajuz, the son of an old woman. And number two, the reason why he is called Dhul Kifl, and these words are also mentioned in the Holy Quran as well, is that he, alayhi salam, took 70 such Anbiya under his protection and saved them from being killed when the Jews were going to commit a massacre. Later on, he, alayhi salam, too, was saved from the attack of the Jews by the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal, and remained alive for years and continued guiding his people. So because he gave protection, he protected 70 Anbiya and 70 prophets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. That is why, you know, he has been given the title of Dhul Kifl. Alhamdulillah. Now, the event of the resurrection of the dead. What is this beautiful event? Subhanallah. It is mentioned that the tribe of Bani Israel used to live in the city of Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam. And, you know, there was a plague in the city. A plague spread out in the city. And these people, the Bani Israel, they had the fear that any moment they will die because of the plague. And they had the fear of death. You know, they were worried. They didn't want to die, basically. So with that fear and with that worry in their hearts, All of these people left the city and they went to the jungle and they stayed in the jungle. And you know, maybe with the assumption that, you know, if we leave the city, then the plague is not going to affect us. If the plague doesn't affect us, we're not going to die. So basically, we're running away from the city out of the fear of the death. Allahu Akbar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala disliked this act of theirs. Allah ta'ala didn't like this action of theirs. I mean, whatever has to happen will happen. But this action that they ran away just because of the fear of death. So Allah ta'ala sent an angel of punishment to the jungle. And this angel hid himself behind a mountain. And with a loud scream, he said, Mutu, that is, all of you must die. All of you die. As soon as he said these words, when they heard the frightening scream, all of them died at once without any disease. And how many people were these? 70,000 people. All of them died immediately when they heard that scream. No disease, no issue, no problem. All of them were dead. Allahu Akbar. These dead people were so many in number, 70,000, that no arrangements for the tadfeen could be made. No arrangements for the burial can be made. I mean, look at it. Today's time, you know, we have the latest facilities. If somebody passes away, we call the paramedics, we call the ambulance maybe, you know, and we call the people who are in charge of everything. They'll take the body, take it to the ghusl khana, you know, give the ghusl, then the ambulance or a hearse will carry the body to the house, whatever the case is, then to the kabristan, everything, kafan, dafan, everything is done. Then the people will bury him. You know, it takes one and a half hour to bury one person. Salatul janazah, everything is involved in there. But 70,000 people? You know, how difficult will that be? All of a sudden, 70,000 people are dead. How are you going to cater for all of them? And this is that time when these latest facilities were not available. So how much time it would take to bury one person, that we cannot understand in those times. So 70,000 people, Allah, Allah. You know, when COVID came recently, and the whole world was, you know, in a state of distress and worry, and many times we had 2-3 janazas a day. You know, maybe some places more than that, 5-6 janazas one day. You know, some crowded cities, crowded areas, and then how difficult it was. You know, it was as if every day we are attending a janaza. Every day we are finding out somebody passed away, somebody left this world. It was a very, you know, a sad state for everyone. But, you know, that is an eye-opener. The 3, 4, 5, 6 people leaving this world in a day, and, you know, the whole day we are busy in the kabristan and that. So, yeah, we can't even imagine 70,000 people leave this world. Obviously, there will be no intizam, no arrangements made to bury all of these people. So what happened was that all these dead bodies, they lied in the open fields for 8 days. Nobody came to bury them. Nothing happened. For 8 days, the bodies lied there. And because of that, the corpse, the bodies started rotting. And because of this rotting, the body started smelling, and the smell started emanating from their bodies, and it spread not only in the jungle, it even went to the people of the city. Allahu Akbar. So some people, they felt pity of all of these dead bodies, and they built a wall around all these dead bodies so that the wild beasts, the animals, cannot attack them, cannot cause any harm to the bodies, or, you know, tear the body pieces, or, you know, do anything. So they built a wall around the 70,000 dead bodies. After a few days, Sayyidina Hizqil alayhi salam passed by the jungle and he saw the dead bodies. When he saw these dead bodies, 70,000 people, all of a sudden they left this world. Allah, 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 Allah. And, you know, no one buried them, nothing happened to them, you know, they weren't given any proper accommodation. So he became tearful and he had this sorrow and this grief in his heart. And he made dua in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, these were my people who made the mistake to flee from this city to the jungle due to the fear of death. Ya Allah, these were all inhabitants of my city whom I have deep love for. I love these people. Ya Allah, they were with me in my good and my bad times. Alas, all my people are destroyed and I am left all alone. Oh Allah, these were the people who used to proclaim your praise and would testify your oneness. In other words, Ya Allah, they were believers. They supported me, they helped me. You know, in times of difficulty, they stood with me. You know, bad times, good times, whatever it is, they were always with me. So these are my people. when the Nabi saw his people that, you know, they are lying in this state, no burial, nothing is being done for them, then he made this dua from the bottom of his heart. Allah, 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 subhanallah. Whilst making this dua full of humbleness, full of, you know, humility, it was revealed upon him, O Hizqeel, say to these scattered bones, that, O bones, undoubtedly Allah Azza wa Jal commands that you be assembled. When Sayyidina Hizqeel al-Islam said this, a movement took place amongst the bones, and every person's bones gathered and formed skeletons. Allah, Allah, Allah. Then it was revealed the second time, O Hizqeel, say, O bones, it is an order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for you to wear flesh. As soon as they heard this, flesh developed on their skeletons. Then the third time it was revealed, O Hizqeel, now say that, O dead ones, all of you stand up by the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As soon as Sayyidina Hizqeel alayhi salam said these words, 70,000 dead bodies stood up in an instant, and all of them were reciting, Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta. Glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. O Allah, praise belongs to you. Glory belongs to you. La ilaha illa anta. Ya Allah, there is none worthy of worship besides you. There is no one who deserves to be worshipped, Ya Allah, besides you. Subhanallah. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika la ilaha illa anta. Subhanallah. All of them then went back to the city. They left the jungle and they lived their lives for the duration which was destined for them. However, there were still some signs of death, you know, found in the lineage and in these people, because they were dead and they were brought back to life. So after that, there were still some signs of death. And what was that? That was their children would smell of rotten corpses. Right, of rotten bodies, the children would emanate that smell. Likewise, the clothes they would wear would turn into a shroud, would turn into a coffin. And the clothes would get dirty the way the coffin gets dirty in the grave. Right, so these are some signs which are still apparent upon them. And these signs are still apparent today in the Jews belonging to that lineage. Even today Allah Ta'ala has preserved that, and today in the Jews which are belonging to that lineage, you will see that these signs are evident in them. This is indeed, you know, a lesson for everyone in the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. First of all, the lesson of resurrection after death. You know, some people deny that, you know, ma'adhala, there is no God. You know, we have atheist people who don't believe in a God, who don't believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, al-ayyazu billah. So they say everything is just nature, everything is just the causes of nature. Allah, then tell me, when a person leaves this world, who brings him back to life? And these are signs, evidence signs, which are present in the Holy Quran. Who created everyone? Everyone is created from a drop of water, then the water, the drop of water, then, you know, It forms into a clot of blood and then into a piece of flesh, and carries on. So who develops this entire system? Is it nature? And if it's nature, then maybe ask your nature to take a drop of semen or something and leave it in your nature and see if a baby is produced, see if a human being is formed. No, it's not nature. Yes, there is one Zat who is in control of everything in the universe. That is the Zat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He deserves to be worshipped. Subhanakallahumma bihamdika la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. So it is our duty to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and from these from these beautiful incidents, we learn the lessons. That those that deny ma'adhala, there is no creator, there is a big lesson for them, that definitely if someone is resurrecting someone after death, then there is a creator who is doing that. The creator is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two, for those people who don't believe in resurrection after death, now you get some people, you know, once we die, everything is finished. You know, and the Quran mentions about this, that the kuffar used to ask Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you know, when we die and we become sand, we become bones, then are we going to be resurrected again? So Allah Ta'ala has mentioned all of these as lessons for them, that yes, you will be resurrected. The day of Qiyamah, you will be brought back to life. Allah Ta'ala had created you first time, and second time again He is going to create you, and nothing is difficult for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ma'adallah. No, kun fayakun. You know, his shan, his status, he is so, you know, exalted, and he just says be and it becomes. So he doesn't go and any difficulty or any problem, ma'ad Allah, that is free from all of these, you know, faults and aib which we have as human beings, but he is free. Subhanakallahumma, glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is free from every defect, every fault, subhanallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has the ability of bringing people back to life after they are dead, means resurrecting the dead, subhanallah. So number one, there is a creator. Number two, you will be resurrected. This is a beautiful sign which is mentioned in the Holy Quran, alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions this wonderful incident and the event in Surah Baqarah in the following words. Allah ta'ala says in Surah Baqarah, ayat number 243, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Alam tara ila alladhina kharaju min diyarihim wa hum ulufun hadhar al maut. فقال لهم الله موتوا ثم أحياهم إن الله لذو فضل على الناس ولكن أكثر الناس لا يشكرون. Translation from Kanzul Iman. Oh beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did you not see those, means the children of Israel, Bani Israel, who left their homes in their thousands fearing death due to plague? So Allah Ta'ala said to them, die. He then brought them back to life. Indeed, Allah is most bountiful upon the people, subhanallah, but most people are ungrateful. This is the words of the Holy Quran. Inna Allah ladhu fadlin ala nasi walakinna akthar al nasi la yashkurun. People are ungrateful. People don't make shukr in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala showers His fadl and His excellence upon you, subhanallah. So the lessons, inshallah, which we will derive from this wonderful incident, we will discuss, inshallah. But before that, I think we'll take a short break, listen to a few beautiful Madani pearls, Madani flowers. And as soon as we return, we can then discuss the lessons which we learn from this Quranic parable. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi, known from amongst the great pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a name which we hear again and again, a lot of famous stories regarding Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi. It's mentioned that once he came across a person who was drunk, and when he met that drunk person started to kiss the hands of Sayyidina Bishr Hafi, rahmatullah alayhi. And he started to say, oh my master, oh Abu Nasr. When that man left, Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi started to cry, and he started to say, the person who loves another on the basis that he is pious, it could be the one receives salvation, but only Allah knows what will happen to the one he loves, his beloved. My dear viewers, try to understand the great way of Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi. A drunken man comes into his court, kisses his hands, and shows him respect. When he leaves, he's telling himself off. He's telling his nafs off that it could be that this drunken person who has come into my court, it could be that he's forgiven because of his showing love, thinking that I am pious. And he's also telling himself off that might be thinking that I am pious, but it could be I might be captured over one action of mine. It could be that this person is forgiven, he gains salvation, but I could be captured over my actions if there wasn't enough sincerity in it. Or why did I not do this? Or why did I do this action? My dear viewers, try to understand the ways of the pious people of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that how they would keep themselves in control even after being shown respect and love, they would still put themselves down. And this is something which we need to understand. Stop looking down on people and try to have the way of the thinking of Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi. Even if the worst of people come in front of us, always think, he is better than me. And always put yourself down, inshaAllah azawajal, by humbling yourself in this way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will elevate your status. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the true blessings of Sayyidina Bishr Hafi rahmatullah alayhi. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, subhanallah, mashallah, welcome back. Some beautiful Madani pearls from our beloved Abdul Hannan by all the way from UK, mashallah. And beautiful words he gave us with regards to adopting humility and humbleness. You know, Allah Ta'ala loves those who are humble. Allah Ta'ala does not love the mutakabbirin, those who are arrogant, those who have pride, those who have takabbur in them. You know, shaitan was amongst the mutakabirin istakbara. The Quran says istakbara wa kana min al-kafirin. He showed that takabbur, that pride, that arrogance. When Allah commanded the angels to make sajda to Adam alayhi salam, then he said, no, you know, I am better than him. Why must I make sajda? Ana khayrun min khalaqtani min nari wa khalaqtahu min teen. Ya Allah, you created me from fire. You created him from sand. So I am better. Even if he was equal to me, I wouldn't make sajda. So he is not even equal. He is lower than me. Ma'adallah. And the outcome was, قَالَ فَخْرُجْ مِنْهَا فَإِنَّكَ رَجِيمٌ. And he was, you know, taken out from the heavens and he was kicked out. And until Qiyamah, he is a lanti and people curse him. You know, before you even recite the Holy Quran, the first thing you do is you curse shaitan and you ask for protection, you know, from the tricks of shaitan, from the harms of shaitan. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Then you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim and you begin your recitation. So this is how bad this takabbur, this pride, this arrogance is. May Allah Ta'ala enable us to always adopt humility, remain humble, and always be humble. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was, you know, so humble, subhanAllah, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, when he would walk in the streets of Makkatul Mukarramah and Madinatul Munawwara, and he would see youngsters, young children, then he would make salam to them first. Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, the greatest in the creation of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, but he is making salam to youngsters. So a message was being left at that time, that if I am a Nabi of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, with such a high status, such a high rank, but I am still making salam to these youngsters, then if that is my rank and in my martaba and my status, then oh people, you are definitely lower than me. This is the lesson which we get from this. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam didn't tell everyone that, you know, you are lower than me and you must make salam. I'm just taking out a lesson which we can learn from this action of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that we deduce this, that, you know, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is giving us this message that what all my status, my martaba, my rank, I am still making salam to these youngsters, then what are you all? No matter how big you are, what a great mufti, Ali, Mulana you have, you must always show respect towards your youngsters. Adopt humbleness. No, make salam to them. This salam you are making to the youngsters will bring humbleness in your heart, will save you from takabbur, will save you from pride. And he's also mentioned, the one who makes salam first, his heart is free from takabbur. The Kabir person will never make salam first, because he always thinks, you know, no, I am better. He must make salam to me. Why must I make salam to him? Alright? So the one who makes pahal, the one who makes salam first, subhanAllah, you know, his heart is free from takabbur, his heart is free from arrogance. And likewise, making salam to youngsters, that is more beautiful, because, you know, a person can make salam to the one who is his age or someone else than him out of respect, but someone younger than him, immediately he says, you know, he is young, he must make salam. No, Islam doesn't teach that. Islam says whoever makes salam first, he gets reward. So it's up to you. Whether you are old, whether you are young, whether you are an elderly person, normal person, whatever the case is, if you want that 90 rewards, then you must make salam first, irrespective of whether it's a child, whether it's a young person your age, whether it's an adult, whatever the case is, you must make salam so you can get the reward from the court of Allah, and you can clean the arrogance and takabbur from your heart as well. Subhanallah, this is how beautiful Islam is, mashallah. In the last few minutes, we would like to discuss a few lessons which we learned from today's discussion with regards to Sayyidina Hizqeel alayhi salam and how 70,000 people were brought back to life. Obviously, the first things we learned, which I discussed, that there is a creator who is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and definitely all of us will be resurrected. This is only one place in the Holy Quran, one incident I mentioned to you. Na? Besides this, there are so many places where I had mentioned in different ayat that yes, you will be resurrected after you leave this world. The second beautiful lesson we learned from this wonderful incident is that a person cannot run away from his death. The Holy Quran has mentioned this here. You know that once a time will come for a person, not even one moment will it be front or back. The exact time in which a person has to leave this world, on that exact time the person will leave this world. Whether he is in a meeting, whether he is, you know, playing games, ma'adallah, whether he is watching some TV or drama or some movies or films, whether he is performing salah, whether he is in sajda, whether he is performing tawaf, whether he is giving sadaqah, whether he is performing salah, whether he is speaking, you know, he's giving a bayan, whether he is, ma'adallah, in a club, whether he is gambling, whether he is drinking, whether he is committing zina, whatever the case is, whatever situation he is in, when the time of death approaches a person, he is going to leave this world. That is why ulama ikram and Sufiyah Izam has mentioned that every person must always try to live his life every moment in the ita'at and the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because by Allah, you never know when that moment will come at your door, when that moment will come and you have to leave this world, then there is no preparation. You can't tell Malikul Maut alayhi salam, I need to make wudu, let me perform 2 rakat salah, let me give sadaqah, let me pay zakat, let me respect my mother, let me respect my father, let me kiss my father's hands, let me, you know, do sila rahmi, let me do this. No. At that time, what you are doing in that state, your soul will be taken away. So if it's a Mubarak place, you are in sajda, subhanallah. You're performing tawaf, subhanallah. You are in front of Rozai Mubarak of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, subhanallah. May Allah enable all of us to leave this world in front of the Mubarak Roza of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah. Us, our parents, our Murshid Kareem, you know, inshallah. May we leave this world while making ziyarat of Gumbad-e-Khazra. May we leave this world while making the ziyarat of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, inshallah, ameen. But then, subhanallah, you know, your death is beautiful. On the contrary, if you leave this world whilst madhala committing zina, whilst drinking alcohol, whilst you are drunk, whilst you are intoxicated, whilst you were gambling, whilst you were in a bar, whilst you were in a club, whilst you're watching movies, then what's going to happen to you? So from this incident you learn that a person cannot run away from his death. These people thought that, you know, we leave the city, then we are saved. No. In the jungle they all died. And what they died from? They died just like that, without any disease. They were running away from the disease and they died without even the disease. Subhanallah. This is the qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alright? So, a person mustn't think that I can run away from death, I can overpower it, you know, I can escape, I can do this, I can do that. No. Whatever the case is, you will have to die. Kullu nafsin dhaiqatul maut. Every soul, every living thing has to taste death. It's a promise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's the words of the Holy Quran. It's a fact which you have to acknowledge, you have to understand. You can't deny it. It has to happen. People left, people are leaving, people will leave. Yesterday your grandfather left. Today maybe your father will leave. Tomorrow you will leave. Then your son will leave. Your grandson will leave. Everyone has to leave this world. No one is here forever. Nobody came here forever. Nobody is here forever. Nobody will stay here forever. The thing which matters is in which situation, in which condition, in which halat are you leaving this world? You're leaving this world as a pious person, as a muttaqi, as an obedient person, and subhanallah, mubarak to you. Your death is blessed. You're leaving this world as a sinner, as a disobedient person, ma'adhala, as a disbeliever. Allah a'azu billah, may Allah save us. Then Allah, the punishment is for you. So this lesson everyone must derive from this incident. Every moment we need to be ready for death. We do not know which moment death will approach us. Subhanallah. With these few words, unfortunately, we are reaching the conclusion of today's silsila and today's episode, and I would like to share the answer for today's question. The question is on the screen as well, that how many disbelievers were captured in the battle of Badr, and the answer is 70 disbelievers were captured in the battle of Badr, and you know, it's also mentioned that 70 kuffar were killed. So 70 kuffar were killed, 70 were captured. A total of 140 disbelievers. For those that got the answer correct, mubarak to you. For those that didn't get the answer, today you learned something new. Share the knowledge with others as well, inshallah. Azabujal. Remember, instill the love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in your hearts, in your mind. This love of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is the base of your iman, the base of everything. You have this love. May Allah, you have everything. You lose this love. May Allah, you lose everything. We hope to see you soon, inshallah. Till then, be positive, think positive, stay positive, remain positive. May Allah SWT enable all of us to visit the beautiful city of His beloved and most noble Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam with our parents, our Murshid Kareem, inshallah. Till then, be happy and keep the entire Ummah in your du'as. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam.
The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance, the light of guidance. The light of guidance.